amazing, amazing day this is. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so excited about what God's doing now, going to do. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't done yet. You ain't done yet. If it ain't good, come on, Peyton. If it ain't good, it ain't over. It ain't over. God's still working. Can I get a better amen? So good, so good. I'm blessed to be with you today, and I'm so glad that you chose to be here. So throughout this week, I've been praying, like, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And I just really, all week, it's been kind of funny because I didn't have this, just, you know, this direction, really. I just kept hearing the Lord say, trust the Lord, and trust the Lord. So I told my wife, I think it was around Thursday, I was like, I just don't have anything, you know, that I'm just keep hearing this little small voice saying, trust the Lord. And she says, well, is that the Lord saying, trust the Lord for Sunday? Or is he saying, speak about trusting the Lord? And so yesterday evening, I had a few things I had written down, but the Lord just began to just download in my life all of his goodness. I mean, I had myself a time in my living room, and I was just sitting in my chair and had a fire in the fireplace, and I just got plumb silly, giddy. With just God, you're so good to me. You're so amazing in my life, God. I am so blessed, and I could go on a rant right now of the blessings of God in my life. I could talk from now till who knows when how good God is in my life. And I remember the days that I didn't trust the Lord. I remember when I didn't have my faith in God. And I remember how miserable that life was. Come on. But I just think about how good, how awesome God is to me. He's so good to me. And I was thinking about how many things that go on in our life that we have so much downloads all the time, so much information coming into our lives. We're just a life full of information. And Angela and I was watching a program, and there was something that came up in that program. Was watching, and they said something, and so she and I both went to our phones and started trying to get Google to tell us what that was all about. And we kind of got tickled because we were both going at it. And we have so much information right here in our hand every day, and sometimes we get an information overload. And we're inundated with all the information and all the information. And so we find ourselves trying to figure things out. Like, I'm going to work these things out in my life. I've got an answer. I've got an answer for everything in my hand. And I don't know, maybe that could be dangerous, because what if Google's wrong? Come on. You know what I'm saying? What if Siri is wrong? I think sometimes she is. She sure don't understand my redneck language. I can say something to Siri, she's like, sorry, we don't speak your language. Just kidding. And so, but what if this is all, what if, but God's never wrong. And look, I'm not against education. I love education. I've always told our kids, like, you're going to go to college. That's not like, it's not like you go to through high school and then you decide if you're going to college. It's kind of, we kind of expect you to go to college. It's kind of part of life. You know, you don't have 12 years of school. You got till you finish. And we just kind of felt that way. Now, honestly, I don't know that everybody's equipped for college. I'm not trying to promote college this morning. I'm just talking about sometimes education can be a stumbling block to us because we get to believing in the things of the world. And we get so educated that we don't really come to that place of saying, God, I'm going to trust in you with my life. I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to live my life just out of head knowledge. But I'm going to live my life out of heart knowledge with you. I'm going to have a relationship with you that leads me, guides me, and directs me. Yes. And if I let education get in the way of your goodness, God, maybe I'm too smart for my own good. Amen? Anybody here this morning? And so I don't want to say today that I believe that we should always learn, but education and learning can become an idol to which we bow. And don't misunderstand me. That's not to say that God is not a part of education. We just have to make him a part of education. We have to make him a part of our learning experience. And we can't trust in our own abilities and our own talents. But we have to trust in the Lord. And so sometimes we get a worldview instead of a godly view of the world around us. And that's a whole different thing. Proverbs tells us this in 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord how? Come on, let's do that one more time. Trust in the Lord completely. Trust in the Lord completely. And do not rely on your own opinions. I laugh at that because how many knows that if you've been around me very long, you know I have got an opinion. Come on. And so do you. Some of us just verbalize it more than others, but we all have an opinion. Can I get a better amen? And with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in some, every, come on,
every.
Say the next word,
decision.
Every decision you make. Every decision. Well, I don't need to hear from the Lord on that. Well, you might do. You might need to put your opinion away and say, God, what is your opinion on this? I love this. Let's read this together. Become. Come on. Oh, no, y'all are all over the place. Screen's late? Okay. Y'all not fired. Y'all are loved back there. Give them a hand. They're awesome. All right, here we go. Become. As long as you read it. Well, hold on. Stop. Become intimate with him and he will lead you wherever you go. That's pretty powerful. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. Nudge your neighbor and say, you don't know it all. And sometimes your opinion stinks. Don't say that. Don't say that. You don't know it all. For wisdom comes when you do what? With undivided devotion. And avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find healing and refreshment your body and spirit long for. Godly glory with all wealth, honor. I'm sorry. Glory God with all your wealth. And honor him with your what? Your leftovers. Honor God with your leftovers. Honor God with the end of your worn out day. Honor God with, give God your money when you trying to get him to give you more. Pray when your life is a disaster. No, come on, somebody. He said, honor God with all your wealth. And listen, I'm not just talking about your money. I'm talking about your time, your talent, and your treasure. I'm going to preach a little bit. Sometimes your time is more difficult to give up than your money. Come on. We live in this crazy, busy world. We got all our life mapped out. We get up every morning. We're rushing around. Our time sometimes is more hard to give up than our money. Lord, just if you want me to send you a check, I will, but don't bother my time. And Lord, I'm using my talent for personal gain. I'm going to preach this morning, so y'all might as well just come on and amen. He said, honor God with all the wealth of everything that you have. And honor him with your very best and with every increase that comes to you. Then, everybody say then. Let's read it together. Then every. Come on, that is so good. Isn't that rich? Then. There's a then in our life. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then. Jesus came to the tomb one day where Lazarus was dead. And he looked at those that were at the tomb. And he said, roll away the stone. But God, he stinks. But you said you're crying over him being dead. But he stinks, Lord. But God said, if you want him raised, roll away the stone. See, so oftentimes we're not willing to do the then so God can do what he does. It was when they rolled away the stone that Jesus was able to say, Lazarus, come forth. And then there was a then. And then he said, take off the grave clothes off of him. You do what you can do, and then I'm going to do everything that you can't do. Come on, there's a then in our life that God is saying. And he's saying, when you put me first in your life, all of these abundant things are going to happen in your life. But you got to give me your best, not your leftovers. Anybody here today? That is rich. And I don't know why, but sometimes people just find it hard to trust the Lord. And I think it's because they've not remembered the experiences that God has already brought them through. And so they say things like this to me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. But you don't understand my situation, Pastor. Because my sickness is worse than everybody else's sickness. My situation is worse than everybody else's situation. My marriage is worse than everybody else's marriage. My problem is bigger than everybody else's problem. So I do believe God can do that for John Doe, but I'm not sure God wants to do that for me because my situation's so big. And we let the things around us or our knowledge of the things around us tell us who God is instead of us telling the situation around us who God is. And we begin to explain away why God cannot work on our behalf. And there's this lack of understanding, and our opinion gets in the way of us really trusting God with our whole heart. And the scripture says, with all your heart, rely on him to guide you. And he will lead you in every single decision you make. Every decision. And look, I understand that God, he'll just rejoice with us. You know, if you got enough money to buy a house and you go pick out a house and you buy it, God will be like, praise God, you're blessed. That's good. That's awesome. He's not trying to control our lives. He's not trying to, you know, he's not going to say, well, you know, I hate this kind of preaching. Like, you know, if this is the manipulation preaching, well, if you don't do blah, 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 this bad's going to happen. You know, God's not like that. Amen. But did you take the time before you went and bought a house to pray and say, God, what neighborhood would you like me to live in? Where would you like to place me, God? Well, I'm not living in that neighborhood. It's not in a good school zone. Well, maybe you're supposed to be the light in a bad school zone, so move there. That didn't go very good. Maybe God's calling you into a particular place. And it's not because he won't be with you in this place, but he's calling you to a particular place, and you go and you miss out on the greatness of God simply because you didn't take just a minute to say, God, what do you want to do in this decision of my life? How can I connect with you on this, Lord? So to trust God is to place your confidence in God and in him alone. Trusting the Lord means more than simply saying, I believe in God. In him, he's this great God of the universe, and I believe all this, and I got all this knowledge, and I got all this understanding. But to believe in him comes out of relationship with him and says, God, you're the source of every single thing in my life. You're not a resource, God. You're the source. And I come to you, God, with this understanding, God, I want all of you. Every part of you. I want you to lead me and guide me in every avenue of my life. And I want to truly know you. And this understanding comes out of that place of knowing. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. The more time you spend with him in prayer and his word allows you to understand more about where he's leading you and guiding you. It comes out of that secret place with God. It's born out of the secret place with God. In every one of our lives, we need this secret place. We need a prayer room and a prayer closet and a time with God. And we need the word of God to be very powerful in our lives. Yes. And over the years of pastoring, I've seen people that learn how to pray and people that learn how to get in their word. And I've watched them just flourish and grow. Amen. And I've seen people that only read their Bible when they come to church. And if it's on the screen, and they only pray on Sundays and they only worship during the congregation, and I've seen them just go through all kinds of situations because they didn't trust in God, ultimately. Because in our devotion with him, we get to know him. And it becomes an intimate place where we get understanding and download, and there's so much knowledge and revelation coming from our secret place with God. And in our secret place, there's things birthed inside of us that can't be birthed inside of us on a Sunday morning. It comes from a secret place. It's that divine appointment. But when we come out of that secret place, we still have to walk in our everyday moments of our life, every single moment of our life, in tune with him. So our prayer room can't just like, okay, we're in the prayer room, and then we come out of the prayer room and we meet the world, and then our prayer room goes to the... No, our life is a life of prayer. I get up in the morning, I engage with God, and I go to bed at night, I'm engaged with God, and I sleep through the night, I'm engaged with God. I'm in this relationship with God, and it's not momentarily, or it's not set aside for just this time, but I'm always in relationship and building with God. That's so good. So it comes out of that place of intimacy. And the more time we spend with him in prayer, the more we understand his goodness in our lives. And then we celebrate his goodness. We give thanks to him. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. Oh, I know this and I know that and I got this understanding, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I've heard people argue over have theological debates, and I wonder like, okay, so you know the Bible, but do you know Jesus? I'll just let that sit there a minute. Because if you know the Word of God and you have a relationship with God, you not only experience his love, but you pour out his love. It's through relationship with him that we are really just carrying this goodness of God in our life. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Now, let me flip that around a little bit. It's so important that we know his word. And I'm not making light of that. His word needs to be the most powerful tool in our life. Because when you go into prayer and you have knowledge of his word, understanding of his word, he starts connecting things with scripture in your life. Come on. You're in prayer and all of a sudden the Lord starts taking that scripture that you've read a million times over and he goes, highlights it. And then it goes application, boom. And then you go, yes. It's strength, it's power, it's might. So when I walk into the storm of my life out of relationship, I'm walking into the storm of my life knowing that God is for me and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper and that his word is alive in me and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. Come on, let's give God praise this morning. And wisdom comes when we adore him. This undivided devotion. And then we can keep from everything that's wrong. Right. Well, God, we just have to have this place in our life where we just have this crazy praise and crazy worship and crazy love for God. And we can't wait till we get in a situation, then decide to pray. You know, I don't think that Daniel got into the lion's den and was like, oh, like, man, I'm just going to get eat up. I better start praying. This would be a good time to pray, boys. I want you to imagine with me just for a minute, the lions on the other side of the gate. They lowered Daniel down in that place, and he's sitting there in the middle of this pit. And he can hear on the other side of the wall the roaring of the lion, the roaring of the hungry lion. Most of us wouldn't need to wait for a lion to eat us. We just die right there. Just the anticipation. Boom. Like, y'all better let the lions out. We're going to be cold in just a minute. But Daniel was walking in peace. He had already, this wasn't time for a prayer meeting. I don't even know that Daniel probably, I don't know if he even had to pray when he was in the lion's den. He trusted. He trusted. Because his prayer life was consistent. It was every day. It was already established. And when the lions walk into the pen, not only could they not eat him, they just couldn't even roar. They were like, look at him open their mouths. They became kitty cats because of his previous preparedness with God. Of course, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the three Hebrew boys, and they said, I love their attitude, like, if we live or if we die, it's all good. You could throw us in the fiery furnace, good with us. Shortcut to heaven, let's go. But if we live, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If we die, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our trust is already put in God Jehovah, and we will not bow. We will not bow to this world around us. And when we have that kind of relationship with God, we face storms in our life, we know that God's going to bring us through. We have great confidence in the Lord. Proverbs 4 says this. Some make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Come on, search for the revelation of life's meaning. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Don't just go through the motions of life. Search for it. Don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. Stick with wisdom and she will stick with you. That's so good. Stick with wisdom and she'll stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. She will rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. How do we buy it? In prayer. In worship. In praise, in relationship. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it. Listen, everybody's excited about the stock market, and you know it's higher than it's ever been, but I'm just going to tell you, not because I know anything about the stock market, but it will come down. That's life. It will come down. I was talking to Holly last night, her and Peyton, and went to a essentials oil things, and I love essential oils. And I like them going in my office. I like them in my car. And I like them. And those are all awesome things. But they got so excited about that. Man, they were so excited. And as I talked to Holly last night, she said, Peyton's really excited. And I'm excited. And I'm excited for them. I said, praise God, be millionaires in Jesus' name. But when we get excited about the kingdom of God, and we invest in the kingdom of God, and we start seeing a return on that, listen, you ever see anybody that has highly favored with God? They're just favored with God, and everything they touch turns to goodness. They say, man, I want to be like them. I want to have that favor on my life. Do you think God got up that day and said, look, I like you better than everybody else, so? No, that favor with God came out of trust with God. And it came out of a red-hot prayer meetings with God. And it came out of love and devotion with God. And it came out of I lay all of my life down and I say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, whatever you want to do, I give you 100 complete charge over my life. And when you live in that place of giving God all of your life, favor comes in your life. It's just the way it is. It's not because God favors you over me, but it's because God loves those who trust in him and they've sought after revelation knowledge of him and they say, God, you're in the God in the middle of this situation I'm in. I trust you, God. And it brings great knowledge into their life. And when we're led by our own understanding, we often miss out on the best that God has for us. But when we're led by the work of the Spirit in our lives with revelation knowledge, we have this crazy confidence in who we are, where we're going, and what we're here for. Who we are, where we're going, and what we're here for. So we don't spend all of our days like the children of Israel, just wandering in the wilderness, wandering around, just trying to figure it out, because we know who we are. I'm going to say this to you today. If you're wandering in the wilderness and you've come around and you saw that tree 40 times and that mountain 40 times, you might ought to check. You might ought to say, wait a minute. This is not the plan that God had for my life. We're never going to get to the promise this way. We're never going to get to the promise just trying to do it on our own. And when we get to the Red Sea of our life and we say, oh no, God, we're about to die. This is it. It's over for us. But when we're walking in faith and confidence in God, we're saying, okay, so this is going to be pretty awesome. Because in a few minutes, we're going to walk across on dry ground, and all those people that are trying to kill us, they're going to drown. Ain't that awesome? It's a total different level of faith and confidence when we know who we are, what we're here for, and where we're going. Amen. And we put our investment in the kingdom of God first and foremost. We put our time in the kingdom of God first and foremost. And we walk with this anointing on our lives. You see, the people of God are to have miracles, signs, and wonders following them. The scripture says, those that believe, not those that just say there's a God, but those that believe, these signs shall follow them that believe. There's miracles should be happening. We ought to be just leaving a wake of miracles behind us. Healing, supernatural eyes being opened, dead being raised, deaf ears being unstopped, lives being changed, souls being won to the kingdom of God. Because we're walking in this confidence and trusting God that's on a whole nother level than just saying, well, I just hope I can make it through the week. If I could just make it to church on Sunday and that worship and that word is going to fill my tank. No, your tank's going to be filled and your relation's going to be filled every day. He's after your heart. He's after it. And he wants you to live in this place of just supernatural anointing. How many believe we're supposed to be living in the supernatural? Okay. Let's do that one more time. How many believe that you ought to be living in the supernatural? Yeah. Why? I'm a child of God. I'm not an orphan. I'm not a beggar. Come on, I'm a child of God. So are you saying, Pastor, that when we walk in this place that we're never going to have any storms? No, I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, I just want to tell you because I'm really encouraging today. It's not if a storm's coming. Is when the storm comes. It's not if the storm's coming, it's when the storm comes. But when the storm comes, I embrace the storm. It's another opportunity for a miracle. Why? Because I'm not wandering in the wilderness. I know who I am. I know what I'm here for. And I know where I'm going. So the storm's only going to make me better. Come on, let the storm come. I'm flexing my muscles in the storm. I'm learning more of the understanding of God. I'm getting revelation when the storm comes. I'm being blessed from the storm. Did God create the storm? No, life is our storm. But in life's storms, there's understanding because he's always with us. And we have this confidence in trusting in him and his hope because he's faithful. I think we need to stop and give the Lord a little praise break right now. To trust is to acknowledge God in everything in our lives. Not just some things, but everything. He will direct our paths. He will make our paths straight. And when we begin to walk in this kind of faith and confidence, knowing who we are, where we're going, what we're doing, we live a supernatural lifestyle. Amen? Amen. We're overcomers. He's bringing us through. He's with us, and we will not be shaken. Worship team can come. Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. His trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. That's so good. We trust in the Lord and His unfailing love. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is faithful. I know where I'm walking through right now is not determining where I'm going, because my faith is going to bring me out of the situation I'm in. I'm trusting the Lord. I will not trust in the world. And I think we should have friends in our life, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think it's God's will that we have people in our life. But at the end of the day, I'm not even trusting in them. I'm trusting in the Lord and His goodness and His mercy and His kindness and His gentleness. And I'm seeking Him. I'm gaining revelation from Him. I'm gaining knowledge from Him. And I have this bold, crazy confidence that God's coming through for me. I have this crazy confidence that when He winks at me and says, come, I'm going to step out of the boat and I'm going to begin to walk on water. Why? He's walking on water and He told me to come, so that means I can walk on water too. I'm walking on my situation. I'm living above, not beneath. I've risen to this crazy kind of love and trust for Him. I'm after His heart. He's after my heart. I'm after His affection. He's already in love with me. He's crazy about me, but I'm getting after that affection and I'm giving Him affection. And I'm building this crazy kind of love relationship with Him. That nothing, no situation is too great for Him. I just feel this morning that something's going to explode in somebody's heart this morning. That the goodness of God is going to come to you in a way like you've never seen it before. In the next few moments, God's going to download some revelation in your life of His love for you. That's going to bring you out of the place that you're at. But Tori, that was so good this morning. We got to let go of our circumstance. I want you to just make a fist right now. Just that's your circumstance you're holding on to. That's the hiccup and the hang up and the problem in your life. That's the situation. That's the marriage. That's the broken home. That's the disease. You see, some of you are not doing this today because you're just really like, okay, Pastor, that's good. Let us go. We want to go home. There's a football game this afternoon. But you're tired. But some of you are tired of the circumstance in your life. You're tired of being going through the same old. But you got to let go and trust God. You got to let go and say, God, if I live or if I die, I trust You. And we pray, say, Lord, let us go out into the deep places of the Spirit. Let us experience the goodness of God. But we're holding on to the bank. We're holding on to the boat. We're holding on to our situation because your situation, for some reason, has become security in your life. And that's a lie. I'm going to tell you one thing. There's only one thing that's secure, and it's Him. So if I can let go of my situation, I can get a hold of Him. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. So in this place right now, under this holy anointing, there's a Spirit of God that's in this place. Addictions have to go. Why? Because I've been holding on to that addiction because it was a secure place in my life. It's what I ran to when life was rough, when things were tough. But I'm letting go today. And I'm saying, God, I trust You. I trust You, God. I trust You, God. I remember a few years ago that me and Haley, we were at JH Ranch in California, and they had this big old swing. And they put you in this harness, and they pull you way up in the air. And Haley's holding the button in her hand, the release button. And she then went way beyond freaking out. And she's holding the release button in her hand. And as she's holding the button in her hand, one of our friends hollered up, said, "Haley, I'll give you $20 if you push the button." All of a sudden, she went from fear to negotiating. She said, "Make it 100. We hold the button in our hand on so many things, and God's saying, "Push the button. Trust the harness. Trust My goodness. Trust My mercy. Trust My joy. Trust My peace. Trust the things that I've put around you. Trust My word." Whew. Just trust Me. Today, I feel like if someone would say, "Click," you have a ride of your life, man. Let's do it again. Come on, God, that was awesome. Let's do it again. Take me a little higher, God. Sling me a little further, Lord. Take me to a deeper depth, Lord. Release me into greatness, God. I want to do it again. Let's do it again, God. Release the supernatural on my life again, God. You brought me through that. I remember when I killed that lion and bear. Bring me a giant. It's going to be a piece of cake. I'm good, God, because I trust You. Our prayer team can come. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray over you. And if you want to leave, you can leave. It's okay to go. But if you want to come up for prayer, God wants to touch your life. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal things in your life. If you're here today and you have sickness in your life, He's the healer. And you got to trust Him with it. If you're here today and you need God to work in your family situation, whatever it is, push the button. Just trust Him with it. If you're here today and you need the salvation of the Lord in your life, you don't know the Lord, then you can hear the Lord calling your name. He's saying, "Come to Me." Just trust the Lord with it. And we do this every Sunday. We open up for prayer. And I want you to know, if you don't come and you want to go, that's okay too. There's no pressure here. God has something great for your life. So let's stand together and let's put our hands over our heart.